and led me stray.
This is WCNO Palm City, the good news station.
My word is a lamp.
Welcome to Thy Word is a Lamp. This is a family Bible teaching ministry. Today you will be listening to our Bible teacher, Sheila Suarez.
Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. We want to give God thanks and praise for this another privilege to be here to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are still in the gospel writings of Matthew. And last time we stopped at verse 26, and we are going to be continuing from there. And we will continue through the book of Matthew to the very end. So we are in chapter 26 right now, and we are going on to the end by God's grace. So we pray and trust that you will be gleaning from this book as we continue on in the book of Matthew. So before we begin, let us pray. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for your many blessings in our lives. Thank you for allowing us to be here another Saturday evening to continue in the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father God, we pray in the name of Jesus that as the word, O God, is sown in the lives of your people, that, O God, they will be changed, O God, by the renewing of their minds. So we pray right now for everyone who take the time out to come to hear your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, O God, that you will illuminate your word to them, O God Almighty, we pray. We pray that lives, O God, will be transformed, O God, and people will come into a deeper relationship with you. Father God, we look to you this evening. Have your way among us, O God. Impart your word to us in such a way that, O God Almighty, we will go forth rejoicing, O God, because you, O God Almighty, Lord, have shined your light in our lives. So we just thank you right now for who you are. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for your grace, your mercy, and your peace among us. We thank you, O God Almighty, that your word will bring faith to our heart, for faith comes by hearing and hearing by your word. So we just thank you for all that you have done and all that you are doing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit's presence with us. Thank you, O God, that you will never leave nor forsake us. And we bless and praise and honor you and give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Praise God. So we continue in Matthew chapter 26, and the word tells us in verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. So we see the Last Supper here with Jesus and the disciples. So Jesus was celebrating the Passover with his disciples. He was eating the last time with them before he was delivered up to be crucified. So he took bread, which represents his body, and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. To the disciples, the blessed of the Father, Jesus our Lord, the bread of life himself. His body was broken for us, people of God. And if we eat of him, we will live eternally. He is calling us to unite with him. Just as, people of God, the literal bread, when we eat it, it goes through our physical system so that we can have life, people of God, so that we have, through the union with Christ Jesus, life, who is the bread of life. When we eat of him, his life will be assimilated through our spiritual body. And we have to take and eat of him. Take and eat of Jesus Christ. He is the bread of life. If we eat of him, we will not be hungry anymore. If we drink of him, people of God, we will not be thirsty anymore. So as he took that bread and broke it and gave it to them, he said, take, eat, this is my body. So we have to eat of Jesus Christ. How much of him do we want? How much of him are we eating? So we have to eat until we are full. Be filled with the Spirit. Then the world will see Christ in us and glorify him. So we as God's people have to know and understand that we are called to eat of Jesus, eat of the word, be filled up with the word of God. Let the word assimilate through our spiritual system. Let the word reform us, transform us, and make us like Jesus. Look at verse 27 of Matthew chapter 26. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. So we see Jesus took the cup and gave thanks. Jesus always gave thanks before partaking of anything. Then he gave the cup to his disciples and said, drink from it, all of you. Drink from this cup. Look at verse 28 of Matthew 26. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. This is my blood of the new covenant. The New Testament, people of God, we have to understand, the new covenant, the new will is in the blood of Jesus Christ. This is my blood, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. So we have to understand, people of God, Jesus' blood was shed for us. And through his blood, people of God, we are in a relationship with him. Through his blood, we can come to him one-on-one, because we are now in fellowship with him, those who have put their trust in Jesus Christ. So when we turn to Luke 22 and verse 20, the word said, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. We must understand, Jesus' blood was shed for us. So now we see, people of God, the new covenant was instituted. So the new covenant is now in the blood of Jesus. When we put our faith in him, through his blood, we are now united to him, people of God. And we are now a part of the new covenant in Christ Jesus Christ. So we see the drinking the cup that Jesus offered to his disciples represented his blood that was shed for us. This is the new covenant instituted by the blood of Jesus. A covenant is always ratified by blood, people of God. So the blood of Jesus was shed for all of humanity for the remission of sin. The blood of Jesus was shed for all of humanity for the remission of sin. But we have to understand, it was shed for all of humanity, but only those who put their trust in Jesus Christ, people of God, will be justified. Only those who put their trust in Jesus Christ will come into that new relationship with him. So we have to understand, people of God, the truth of God's word. God is calling us to understand Jesus died for all of humanity, but only those who put their trust in him, people of God, are in the new covenant with him. So we have to understand this truth and come to put our faith in Jesus Christ. We are called to put our trust in Jesus Christ. We are called to believe on him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So we have to understand this truth, people of God, and look to Jesus always. So look in Hebrews 9, verse 16 to 22. The word tells us, for where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the new will to be instituted, Christ had to die, people of God. We must understand that. For where there is a testament, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is in force after men are dead, since it has no power at all while the testator lives. Therefore, not even the first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water, scarlet wool, and hyssop, and sprinkled both the book itself on all the people, saying, this is the blood of the covenant which God has commanded you. Then likewise also he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And according to the law, almost all things are purified with blood. And without shedding of blood, there is no remission. People of God, we have to understand this truth. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no forgiveness for sin. So Christ's blood had to be shed for us so that our sins can be forgiven. When we look in 1 John 4, 9 and 10, 1 John 4, 9 and 10, the word said, "In this the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin." So Jesus Christ became that atoning sacrifice for us. We have to understand, people of God, the work that he did at the cross, it was for us. He became that atoning sacrifice. He became the propitiation for our sin. He took care of humanity's sin, people of God. But we have to know that we have to take care of our sin problem by putting our trust in Jesus Christ. He took care of all of humanity's sin problem, but it's only for those who have put their trust in him, people of God. So he covers all of humanity, but those who have put their trust in him, those who have accepted the gift of salvation, people of God, we have to understand only those will be saved. So we must know and understand he took care of the sin problem here on earth. But we as God's people must understand that we have to put our trust in Jesus Christ. It is a personal walk, people of God. We must put our trust in him, in Jesus Christ, the propitiation for our sin, who has atoned for us. He has atoned for us. We don't have to be going to a high priest anymore. It was a yearly atonement in the old covenant. Now we have a new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. So we don't have to go to no high priest. We don't have to kill any bull and any goat or any sheep to atone for our sin. Jesus Christ, the ultimate sacrifice, came. He was the Passover lamb, people of God. He celebrated the Passover feast, but he was the Passover lamb. And people of God, we have to understand, as John the Baptist saw him, it was revealed to John the Baptist that there goes the Passover lamb. And he said, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." So people of God, he has atoned for our sin. He has blotted out our sins. But we who put our trust in him are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. So we have to understand, people of God, the atoning work of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand why he came. He came, people of God, to save us from our sin. He came to reveal the Father's love for us. So we have to understand all of this truth and place our trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. Place our confidence in him. Look on verse 29 of Matthew 26. "But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." What was Jesus talking about? I'm not going to be drinking the fruit of this vine from now on until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So Jesus was saying to his disciples that he would not drink with them again in this fashion until that day when he drinks it anew with them in his Father's kingdom. And he was speaking of the marriage supper. There will be a marriage supper, people of God, the marriage supper of the Lamb. We will all drink with him. All those that have put their trust in Jesus Christ will drink with him at this marriage supper. So we are going to be reading from Revelation 19, verses 6 to 10. Revelation 19, verses 6 to 10. And the word of God says, "And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come." People of God, we have to understand, there will be a marriage supper. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. His wife is the church of God, people of God. We must make ourselves ready. And the word said, "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, see that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. So we see, people of God, we have to understand that the marriage supper of the Lamb is coming. Jesus Christ is going to eat anew with us in his Father's kingdom. We have to understand, people of God, that we are called as God's people to know that this is not the end of it. We are going to be with Jesus forever. So we must know, people of God, that the Father is preparing that marriage supper for his Son. And we see, people of God, in Matthew 22:2, the word tells us the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for his Son. So we see Jesus Christ, who is the Lamb of God. The Father is preparing that marriage supper for him. And we see, people of God, a lot of worship in heaven. Hallelujah. For the Lord omnipotent reigns. We have to know that it's a time of rejoicing because the marriage supper of the Lamb has come. Look at verse 30 of Matthew 26. Verse 30 of Matthew 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So we see, people of God, the singing of the hymns also happened in those days as well. It's not new. It's not a new thing. So we see, people of God, they were singing. They had the song of hymn after they finished supper, and they went out. Jesus and his disciples went out to the Mount of Olives. And we remember the word of God tells us in Ephesians 5:19 that we must speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord. So we have to understand the importance of singing the hymns and singing the spiritual songs and making melody, people of God. We have to understand when we sing the hymns, we make melody in our hearts to the Lord. And people of God, we can't be singing the hymns and we are fearful and anxious. The hymns bring forth that melody and that love in our hearts, that peace and that joy in our hearts. So we have to sing the hymns a little more. Jesus himself sung the hymn. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So look at verse 31 of Matthew chapter 26. Verse 31 said, then Jesus said to them, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written. All of you will be made to stumble. All of you gonna desert me because of what will happen this night. For it is written. So we have to understand, it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. It is written about me, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. So we see in Zechariah 13 verse 7, the word of God said, awake, O sword, against my shepherd, against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. So we see, and the word said, then I will turn my head against the little ones. So this is written so many years before Christ came, that people of God, when they come after Jesus, when they arrest him and take him, the disciples will flee. Strike the shepherd. Jesus is the good shepherd. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. So we see, people of God, it was written so many years before Christ came, and we see the fulfillment. Everything that was written of him had to be fulfilled. So look at verse 32 of Matthew 26. But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee. So Jesus was telling them, after I am risen from the dead, I will go before you into Galilee. Look at verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble. So we see, people of God, Peter, who is always speaking, he's always a spokesperson for the group. No, he was speaking up, people of God, not understanding what he was saying. If all are made to stumble because of you, Jesus, I will never be made to stumble. And we have to understand, people of God, that Peter, denied Jesus. And Peter thought he was strong. So we have to be very careful as we walk this walk, people of God. Never think we are strong. So we have to remember Paul's words to us in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. He said, therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Let him who thinks he stands take heed lest he fall. So we have to understand, people of God, we cannot become overly confident, and we cannot become, people of God, too confident in ourselves. Our confidence must be in Christ. We must be completely dependent upon him daily to keep us. He's the one who keeps us from falling. Paul said, take heed lest you fall. Don't think you stand. Don't think that you are strong. Many times we think we are strong and we can do it in self-effort. But people of God, we have to understand we can do nothing without Jesus. Jesus reminded us in John 15, you can do nothing without me. So we have to understand that we cannot win this war without Christ. He is our victorious warrior. So all we need to do is stay in him, rest in him, walk in him daily, and do his will. So we are called, people of God, to take stock of ourselves and never think that we are strong. Never think that we can go out to fight the enemy on our own. Jesus Christ is our mighty warrior. So run to Jesus and cry out to him, and he will fight that battle for you. He is our defense, people of God. He fights for us. The battle is not ours, it is his. So let us not stand in our own strength, lest we fall. We have to be careful, people of God. And the word is telling us, so we must be reminded of the word of God. Therefore, let him who thinks he stand take heed lest he fall. Peter thought he was strong. Peter thought, if everybody else stumble, I won't. If everybody else run away and leave you, Jesus, I won't. But we see, people of God, as we read the scriptures, we see where Peter denied Jesus. So look on verse 34 of Matthew 26. Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, that this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. This night, this very night, Peter, before the rooster crows, you are going to deny me three times. So we see, people of God, Peter felt in himself that he was strong in the faith, so he wouldn't be made to stumble. But Jesus, who knows everything, we have to understand Jesus knows everything. He knows our hearts. He knows when we're going to stumble. He knows when we're going to fall. People of God, Jesus himself said, Peter, you know what? The enemy wish to sift you like wheat. But I've prayed that your faith remain. And when you are converted, strengthen your brethren. So we see Jesus knows everything. He knows everything. That's why he told Peter that truly, that very night, Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows. So we have to understand, people of God, we serve an all-knowing God. He knows everything about us. He knows our weaknesses. He knows our strengths. He knows our down-sitting and our uprising. He knows that we are only dust. He knows we fail so often, people of God. But we have to put our trust in him, the one who never fails. So we can rest assured that he is coming through for us. Look at verse 35 of Matthew 26. Peter said to him, even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And so said all the disciples. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I won't deny you. And so said all the disciples. People of God, many times we talk things and we do the opposite. So we must be careful of what is coming from our mouth. For many times we talk some big stuff and we find ourselves, people of God, defeated. So we have to be very careful what we say. Peter said, even if I have to die with you, that was big talk. Even if I have to die with you, Jesus, I will not deny you. And so said all the other disciples. Look at verse 36. Of Matthew 26. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, sit here while I go and pray over there. So we see Jesus left that place where they had the Last Supper or the Passover meal, and we see they went now to the Garden of Gethsemane, which was near to the Mount of Olives. So we see when they went there, Jesus went to pray. So he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And the word said in verse 37 of Matthew 26, "And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed." The word said he took Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that is James and John. So we see, people of God, even in the midst of the 12 disciples, we see there was still an inner circle of disciples, Peter, James, and John, people of God, that Jesus was even closest to them, that he would take them with him to pray. So we see where Jesus came to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked the disciples to sit at a certain spot, but he would go further into the garden to pray. He took Peter, James, and John with him, and he began to agonize deeply in prayer. He was feeling the weight of our sins that he would take to the cross for us. He became our sin bearer, people of God. And we have to understand, he became our sin bearer. He became our sin substitute. The spotless, sinless Lamb of God bears the sins of humanity. So we have to understand, people of God, that Jesus did it all for us. All to him we owe. So we are going to look at Luke's account of Jesus' agonizing prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. So Luke 22, 39 through 46. Well, let us read the account. This is Matthew's account of Jesus' prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. We're going to look at Luke's account. The word said, "Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you may not enter into temptation. Pray that you may not enter into temptation.' And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, 'Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done.' Then an angel appeared to him." People of God, this is Luke's account. "An angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him." So we see, people of God, even Jesus Christ need to be strengthened, fully God and fully man. An angel appeared to him from heaven and strengthened him. "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground." So he was sweating so profusely. So it seems, the Bible said, it wasn't blood. It became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. "So when he arose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow." Then verse 46, "Then he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" And we'll stop here this evening, people of God, and we will continue from here next week, God's willing. Let us pray. Father, we thank you again for today. We thank you for what you're doing in this season. We thank you for your word to us, and we thank you for your atoning blood. We thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' precious name we pray, and we say amen. Amen. God bless you all. Have a wonderful rest of the week, and may you continue to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In the
Thank you very much for listening to our Family Bible Teaching Ministry. Let's hope you have been blessed by this wonderful word. Thy word is a lamp. You can reach us at 561-667-8477. 561-667-8477. Join us again next week at the same time. Thy word is a lamp.